Welcome back to Call Waiting. It's me, your friend Robin Shawl. Hope you're all doing well. I'm very excited for today's episode. Today's episode is my double life, and we are interviewing one of my favorite people on the planet. He's a drag queen, which is so fun and so excited. I've started to get really into that whole culture because of him. And I also am really excited. He's one of my favorite people because he also happens to be my cousin. So there's going to be so much to this interview and I can't wait. But before then, I have so much to go over. We're about to leave on tour. This is so exciting. If you want to see me live, head to www.robinshawl.com. We're going all over. We're going to Detroit, Phoenix, Seattle, Canada, all over Canada. We're going to Toronto, Vancouver. I'm leaving out places, but most exciting is I'm in the New York Comedy Festival doing Town Hall. So get your tickets now at www.robinshawl.com. Also, every week you can find out the topic and call in yourself by following me at Robin Shawl Comic on Instagram and TikTok. Okay, so double life. You're like, Robin, you lead a double life? I did for many, many years. So here's the story. Growing up, as a lot of you may know, I wore leg braces like Forrest Gump for 3 years, from first grade to third grade, because I had a bone disease. Then fourth grade, I had four hip surgeries, so I didn't go to any fourth grade. And then I had more surgery in seventh grade. So from first to seventh grade, I was barely in school. I was in and out. And every teacher just kept passing me because I'm adorable. Like I'd make all these teachers my friends. I'd bring in treats, you know. And when I was there, you know, I would always raise my hand. My double life was I never learned how to read because I didn't go to school. And I kept getting passed. Again, I also think this is because this was the, you know, some New York public school. Like, I think I just slipped through the crack. So what happened was I got to 16 not being able to read. And it was, I know you're like, how is this a double life exactly? Because no one knew this secret. I was incognito as a person that knew how to read, and no one would know, because if I was in school, so what I would do is I would see if, like, we were reading out loud, I would take notice each kid was reading three paragraphs, right? And I look at the clock. Okay, it took each kid 1 minute, and there's four people in front of me, and I do the math so that I would leave for the bathroom like 2 minutes ahead of my time. Then I would go to the bathroom. I would do all this scientific work just not to read. And you're like, well, how'd you do your homework? Well, when I was at home, I would say, like, my mom and my dad, I'd be like, oh, my eyes are tired. Can you read this to me? You know? And then you're like, Robin, how'd you pass tests? I didn't pass tests. I remember in, like, I think it was ninth grade. It was ninth or 10th. I got like a 12 on a history test out of a 100. It was actually harder to get a 12 than it was to, like, get like just a regular failing grade. I had to get every single question wrong to get a 12. It was crazy. And no one knew. And I had this like secret. I remember I went to acting sleepaway camp. And we had a, you know, audition. And what I would always do was I would take the side and I would go to someone. I'm like, hey, can you just read this? My eyesight's not too good. And they would read it to me. And I was a brilliant memorizer. And then I would go in and do the audition. And I remember I was in the audition and they said, oh, actually, Robin, we gave you the wrong sides. Can you read for this character? And I was like, can I step outside? I'll be right back. They're like, no, just read it cold. It's fine. And I was like, no, I'm just going to step outside. They're like, no, Robin, it's fine. And so I started reading and I got like three words in and I couldn't do it. And I just started crying and I ran out. And I thought my whole cover was blown. And it wasn't until I sat down for the PSATs and I got a negative 200. I think you get 200 just for writing your name correct. At the time, I don't know if it's still this way, but it's out of 1600 back then. I think it's back to that now. But I really got like a crazy score. And that's kind of when my parents were like, I think you need help. Like, this is not, something's up. So they took me to this reading lab outside the school. And that's when at 16, they realized I was on a fourth grade reading level. I learned how to read that year. And then I sat down for the SATs and got a 6. No, not a 6. I got a 1280 because I wasn't stupid. I just literally couldn't read. And then once I got a 1280, you could keep taking it as many times as you want. But because I had all these learning disabilities on top of not being able to read, I was allowed extra time. So I'd already sat down for this SATs for like 30 hours. And I was like, you know what? This is as good as it gets. So that is my double life for many years. Anyway, let's get into security because I want to hear his double life.
Hey.
Did you know I couldn't read? Well, I know you know now, but like back in the day.
But, you know, as a former teacher hearing, you know, stuff you're saying, yes, a lot of kids who couldn't read would never say it. It's the ones who don't want to or the ones that say, I don't want to read. I don't know how to read. But
you know, if you actually don't know how to read, it's like your deepest, darkest secret. Yeah.
Oh no, and what those tricks of getting by, they all do it. Yeah. That's,
I would even
really
do it during Passover because you know how you'd have to go around to the read at the Seder. I would do the same thing. I'd realize, okay, so there's two more people before I have to read my part of the, and I would quickly go to the bathroom or something.
And that's,
but as a kid, you didn't know.
No clue.
Did you know something was wrong with me? You're like, damn, she's stupid compared to the rest of us.
I'm not saying anything.
You know, I've spoken to mom about this. I'm like, did you know? She's like, we knew you were struggling in school, but we cared more about your physical health at the time that we just didn't care.
And that happens. That happens.
Other things takes priority. All right, do you have a double life?
I would say what's just going on now is a double life.
What do you mean?
You know, just being security and being me. You know, again, how you know me, or we hang out with family, you know, that it's a different...
Do you feel like security is a different person than...
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
I see no difference. Tell me, what do you think is different?
Well, I think the real me would do a great job at the end of each show. I don't know what security's doing.
So security's a character messing up this podcast?
It's all security, yeah.
Is it weird for you when you're walking down the... Because we get recognized now.
Yes.
When, is it weird for you when you hear security?
Well, only because, you know, somebody might be yelling for the real security.
It'd be funny if it's the other way around. Like, someone's like, help security!
Yes.
Like, I'm here. Like, what can I do?
Who are you?
That's funny. When we, guys, one of the first shows on the road since security became security, because, you know, he helps me at my shows. He runs all the sound cues and video cues. So, like, I did not tell the comedy club that the fans and I call my brother security. So I'm on stage and I'm like, security. And then all of a sudden the actual security starts running towards the stage. I'm like, no, not you. I met my brother. He's security. So now every time we go to a new venue, we have to explain
always
to them, I'm going to yell security like 5 times throughout the show. Do not rush the stage.
And usually I'll wait to put on my security shirt.
Oh, that's right, because you wear a security shirt.
But I wait till you tell them, because then they're going to see me and they're like, you're the security?
How did we come up with the name security?
It was when you gave the check to the wait staff, and you were instead of saying that you're with your brother, I kept on jumping in saying I'm your security
because
you had money. So
you kind of are my security.
Yeah,
except I'm protecting you.
Yes.
All right, I'm really excited to bring on our guest. As I said, he's my little baby cousin, even though he's about 5 feet taller than me. Please, everyone, welcome my cousin Sammy Shaw.
Hi, Robin.
How are you?
Hi, security.
Thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited. Congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you. Guys, when I first, you know, found out I was going to be doing a podcast with Betches, my entire family's at my house and I'm like, I'm doing a podcast and Betches is producing it. And majority of my family is like over the age of 60. And they're like, yeah, we don't know what that means. And Sammy was like, no, you don't understand. This is a huge social network. I really appreciate it. Cause you kind of explained to them that this was like very exciting.
Yes, yeah.
So, okay. So I'm really curious how you got started in drag. Like, is this something I do know as kids, we used to dress, me and your brother used to dress you up in heels and lipstick all the time.
Oh, absolutely. We used to play like Pretty Pretty Princess.
Yeah, that was
any
such
excuse
a good game
to wear jewelry.
So shocking when Sammy came out to me. Do I still remember when you came out to me?
No, but I'm sure you were just like, and
yeah, I was. We were
like,
sitting.
What else?
We were sitting on your couch in your living room, and you're like, I just want to tell you, Robin, I'm gay.
Oh,
I'm
I
like,
do remember
we
this.
We know, Sammy. But okay, so how old were you when you came out? Actually, I don't remember.
Honestly, I waited a while. Everyone else knew, but I waited till I was about 20.
Yeah.
And I had dated all these girls before then.
Beautiful women.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sure they're all in therapy now, especially after seeing me in drag.
Aren't we all?
Oh, yeah. I think they're bewildered by it, maybe.
And what was like the deciding factor to come out?
It was time. I knew forever.
Yeah.
But it was, I actually met a guy who I really liked, and I wanted to be with this person. So I was like, well, I guess if I want to bring him around, I have to let people know that I'm a homosexual.
Yeah. And when you couldn't have asked for a better family to come out to.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I wish our family on everyone, like the example our family set, I wish that for everyone. It was just like, there's nothing I could say or do ever, whether it's romance, personal beliefs, whatever it is, that I could tell my family and they wouldn't just receive it with love.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it all just comes down to love or hate or love or fear. And it's a choice. And our family always chose and chooses still love.
Yeah, like to the 10th power. I can't think of a situation that we can't go to our, not just like his parents or my parents, but and our siblings, but also our aunts and uncles, our grandparents. Like, like you wouldn't think, you know, again, our grandparents have passed, but like we just have such a family where it's, oh, you want to do drag? I mean, we all go to Sammy Show. We're going to start getting into the drag in a second, but I just remember... I went to one of Sammy's shows and it was the first time I was going, and it was the first time my dad at 70 was going, and our Uncle Jay at 69. And I remember, like, so you hadn't come on stage yet, and it was this guy and his penis was out, his boobs were out, he had like he had everything out there, you know, it's a wild time. And I turn around and my dad and Uncle Jay are beaming, like they're having the ground, like, what is happening? Like, oh, yeah. I was fine with everything going on stage. I was more uncomfortable with the joy that they were having behind me. Okay, we're totally skipping ahead. So, all right, you came out. When were you introduced to drag?
So in my early 20s, you know, we're from New York, so I was always going into the city at a young age, and Brooklyn, and that's where it all started. My friends and I would go into Brooklyn and we found these queer spaces, and drag was just, I mean, drag's crazy now. It's completely blown up because of Drag Race, and it's become mainstream. But this was like at a time when that wasn't the case, and it was honestly cooler. So we would go to Brooklyn and just see these wild performances. So avant-garde, so like mesmerizing and inspiring. So that was my first foray into drag, just seeing these like art freaks in Brooklyn doing it. And it wasn't just like female impersonation and pageantry. It was just like smeared lipstick and punk rock. And it was just like so exciting.
Yeah.
So that's what turned me on. Yes, exactly. So that's what turned me on. And then Drag Race had been out, but I hadn't seen it till like 2013-14, and then it was just all from there, it just blew up for me.
So what was the first time you tried it?
I think in 2000, well, like we were saying, even when I was a kid, I was
what was the first time you like pearls. Went to a bar or venue or somewhere to try it?
So in like 2018-17, I found a group of people who also wanted to do it, and Brooklyn offers these places where any beginning baby drag person can go and perform at like the open stages. So that's what I did. And that, you know, that's what sort of nurtured the drag for me in Brooklyn. So I have to like give Brooklyn props, Brooklyn drag props for that, for helping me.
You know, when the first time I tried stand up, I went, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Did you have a similar feeling?
I, even till now, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Every day I say, why am I doing this?
So every time I get on stage and I perform, I leave and I question everything. And I think that's part of art, and part of being an artist is just like continuously questioning why you're doing something and what you're doing it for. And it helps propel me in this as a career, because a lot of people do this for fun. I'm trying to make this a career. And that's, you have to have that mindset, because you're constantly saying, how can I push the limits? How can I affect change? How can I use this platform? Because drag queens are a sentinel in the drag community. They are beacons. They're so highly respected now. It's like crazy. When you dress in drag, the floodgates open. People like clear the way for you. They give you free drinks. They do all these things for you. When you're out of drag, they don't know you from Adam, and they're just like, okay, please move away, you know? But in drag, it's like you're this super person. So you have superpowers in drag.
I had no clue this is years ago, before I really, half you, but half also just, I think, the times, and like you're saying, it's so big now. I just, again, thought it was men dressing up as women and lip singing. That's what I thought it was. Now I'm realizing everyone has like a message behind it, or an artist, they want it to be artistic, or it's like something so much bigger. And I remember one of the first times I saw that was, it was a half comedy show, half drag, a burlesque-y type. Is drag burlesque?
There can be drag performers who do burlesque, but they're considered separate art forms. But, you know, I've seen many a drag performer who participates in burlesque, which is very, you know, like, you know, tits out, tintillating, yeah, you know,
what my dad and uncle like.
What our family enjoys.
Yeah, everyone really doesn't like the PG stuff. People are like, you guys call your family loving. We call them gross.
Perverts.
Perverts. Should really meet our Uncle Jay.
Oh, okay. No.
I'm kidding. He just listens to this. That's a hi, Uncle Jay. Every time I've seen you, you're always doing either a different song or a different dance, mm-hmm, or a different look. When you're preparing for a show, do you go, okay, tell me what your preparation is?
So a lot of times it's what the show calls for. You've seen me in doing competitions, and so the competition has strict guidelines and there's a theme, you know, or I'm in a drag band. We're called the Bad Judies, and we're the only drag band around. Each member of the band is a drag performer. We're all drag queens, and we all play instruments and we sing. So we know that when we're doing a show, we have to be musicians, you know, and like we have to, but we choose. And that's what's so amazing about drag is like, I can crumple up my entire drag persona, throw it away. And then the next time you see me, I'm a completely different iteration of Worshipper, which is the name of my drag persona. So that's why it's so exciting, because I can just keep reinventing myself.
Now, every time you do drag, you're always Worshipper. So that's, it's yes, either I'm talking to my cousin Sammy or I'm talking to Worshipper. Do a lot of drag queens have one persona, or is it some drag queens have like 20 personas?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I know drag queens who they are, we all know them by their name. Like, yeah, I would be Worshipper, but maybe sometimes at a show, I'll play a certain character, like as if it was like the Carol Burnett show, you know, like she's Carol Burnett, but like she's playing that famous character that everyone knows.
Right.
So it's like that.
What have you ever get discrimination against, like while you're in drag?
No, I think because I'm a 6'2", like pretty like buff man.
Yeah,
I don't
ever.
And then in drag, I'm 6'7". So I don't.
Do I have to, when this episode comes out, I have a picture of me and Worshipper. And it's like, oh, without drag, you're a good 2 feet taller,
sure,
than me. And then when you're dressed as Worshipper, she's like 50 feet tall. Yeah. I'm like resting on your boobs.
Yeah. I'm hugging the top of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but listen, I'm fortunate because I hear stories all the time, and my drag sisters, people in the community, just being harassed or, you know, vandalized or robbed or whatever it is all the time.
Yeah.
So it's very apparent, especially in New York City.
I know. I take for granted. We started off with our family so accepting, but it's like, then I'll hear stories and I'm like, gosh, this world is so scary sometimes with like the backlash.
Sure.
Cause you know, you used to do it at a bar around the corner from me, but that bar closed. Are you feeling right now, what's the temperature in the city with like queer spaces?
Queer spaces are continuing to just pop up all over the place. And we're actually, the Bad Judies, my band, are starting a residency at a new venue that's opening up called Red Eye, which is right behind Port Authority. So it's nice and trashy. and we'll be there once a week. So like there's opportunity everywhere. Everywhere you look as a drag queen, if you want to perform, if you want to build a community or what we consider your chosen family or drag family, it's all there for you in New York City. You just have to activate it.
So let's say someone wants to get into drag. Like, I know you're saying there's all these spaces. Yeah. What do they type? Where do they go? What do they type in?
Someone wants to do drag, my advice is don't.
Find another hobby.
But no, if they
not stand up, because that's no better.
But if they really wanted to, you know, there's a place called Macri Park in Williamsburg that does open sets there, like places, you know, I would say go try out a competition, try out like a amateur competition where, you know, it's all amateur drag queens like getting on stage for the first time and have the potential to win whatever, $1,000 or whatever it is.
Do you have any disaster shows or disaster moments as Worshipper?
That's a really good question. I mean, listen, every show, I'm a perfectionist, so I always think something's wrong at every show.
Yeah.
I guess the worst thing that could happen is like I really bust my ass on my heels, which has happened many times, or like a trip over a wire on stage or whatever it is, you know? I don't have many physical tricks that I can do because I'm just not a dancer. So my main thing is like jumping off of really high spaces onto my knees for some reason.
Mine too.
So I think in like a year or two, I just won't have kneecaps. Like they'll be completely shattered. So it's like there's some occupational hazards for sure.
Do you have a favorite show?
A favorite show that
like a memory?
So every Halloween or holiday show I've ever done is my favorite. I just love it. It's the Bad Judies. We do a Christmas show and a Halloween show every year, and we kill it. Like, we just do, we go all out. We, my lead singer, Wesley, my drag sister, goes from head to toe, is the Grinch. She performs as the Grinch, like the entire facial prosthetics, everything. So it's really amazing. The other highlight of my career thus far has been my father, who's a musician, you know, Uncle Gary. He and I started a project together so that we could perform together, me in drag. You were there at our last show at Dixon Place a little over a year ago. And yeah, that was like the highlight for me, just being able to be with my father in front of the entire family in drag, just performing.
I'm going to dive in more on that with just so that fill in people. So his father, my Uncle Gary, also my godfather, Sammy's downplaying this man's genius as a musician. Like, he's performed all over the world. Mm-hmm. Like, not just, he did, you know, Carnegie Hall, like, but he's been like all around the world. He's like a brilliant, brilliant musician. But classically, you know, he played like every instrument. What's the,
his marimba main, was the, his main instrument. Any sort of like mallet, hand drummy thing was,
but like just a real brilliant genius. And so he passed this past year. But about when did he come up with this idea that he wanted to do his own shows and have you do it in drag, a part of it?
When I started doing drag. Yeah, when he started coming to my shows, he's like, okay, this has to happen.
Oh, yes. So Sammy's doing a drag show and he invites like the whole family, right? And so we go. This is after my dad and my uncle Jay saw him, but he invites his parents. And it was like one of their first times coming. And his dad was beaming because like he likes performers. He likes the arts, you know, and he was seeing his son, because Sammy, his drag band, like they were playing music, they're singing, they're dancing, and they're in drag. It was like such a, you know, performance. And I see my uncle and I took pictures. I've sent it to Sammy since. But my uncle's like beaming with pride. And so then my uncle came up with this idea that he was going to write pieces, you know, classical pieces, and, you know, rent out theaters and perform and have his son do drag and sing his music while he played. And they did a few. And then his very last show before he passed, it's like one of my favorite moments probably of my life, because not only is my uncle playing, not only is my cousin in drag, like doing the show, but they also made a like little short music video.
Yeah, like a video component to go to be playing while we're all on stage playing live music.
Yeah. And so you had that behind it. My uncle, who like we all knew was dying. Like everyone in that room knew he was dying. And then you have like the most amazing performance of all time. It was so beautiful. But that wasn't the best part of the night. And I keep bringing this up to, I brought it up to, you know, your father. I brought it up to you, I brought it up to your mom. But like the best part was afterwards, they did a Q&A. And someone was like to Gary, they're like, Gary, you are classically trained. You come from a very like reserved background and your son does drag. Like, how was that finding out? And my uncle goes, why have a son who's a doctor when you could have a son who's a drag queen? And like the whole place just like started applauding. And first off, that describes who he is to a T, because like he will find what your strength is and will drill home like, this is amazing.
Magnify that and make that happen. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it was, I know that was one of your top performances, but I think everyone in the audience, that was like their favorite day, because it was just such an epic. It was epic.
It was really epic. Everything culminated in that one night, like family being brought together, just all the love. And again, I have to like bring it back to love. It's just about like, no matter what, just acceptance and love is the key to creation and creativity and nurturing someone's life. If they're an artist or whatever it is that they're doing, just be there to support them.
So while we're talking about your dad, and your mom is just as supportive.
Yes.
That's my godmother, my Aunt Evie. But how did you tell them that you were going to start doing drag?
Now I remember. Okay. Do you remember when my brother, Jerry, was leaving New York City?
Yeah.
And I hired a drag queen to come to the park. We were having a party in Central Park, and I hired this fabulous drag queen named Jasmine Rice to come to the park and sing and perform for everyone. And it was like a lot of people in our family's first time seeing a drag queen, like a modern drag queen. You know, I'm sure they've seen like
someone walking down the street. Yeah.
And so I think that planted the seed, and I sort of was alluding to the fact that like, oh yeah, this is a person that a colleague, like someone that I work with, you know. Yeah. And then it sort of just snowballed from there. And then it was the brunch, and I was like, well, remember Jasmine? Well, I do that too. And you should come see me. And they were just so, they were like, what? That's so exciting. And it's funny because people just, it's unassuming when you look at me sometimes. Yeah. Especially the people who've known me for so long. They're like, that it seems so arbitrary. Like, oh, you're doing drag? Like, okay.
It's yeah, like, it's funny. Well, first off, you are straight passing, would you say, right?
Yeah.
Like when people meet you, do they know you're gay?
Some do and some don't, you know? I'm also like, labels are labels, and I'm kind of over them, but like, I consider myself, it's all a spectrum. Yeah. So like, I'm attracted to many different types of people. I wouldn't consider myself pansexual, but
pansexual?
It's when you're attracted to like different types of other sexualities or genders.
Okay.
So like maybe if you're into like, you know, a female, but also men, or maybe like a trans man or whatever it is. Like if you're in this sort of
so liminal, pan just means like you just all over the place of what you like.
Yes.
Okay. And then what's, so I feel
like let's educate. Let's educate.
Okay. Okay. So that's pansexual.
Yeah.
Then what's queer? Or is that just like an umbrella?
Queer. Yeah, exactly. So queer obviously was a sort of derogatory term, and the queer community, like we usually do, we reclaimed it and we like turned it on its head, and now it's something that we're proud to say we are. And yes, I use it as an umbrella term to mean everything, all the LGBTQIA, like all of that is under the Q.
Yeah.
But listen, every single person is different. And I know that it's complicated and kind of annoying to some people that you have to like know about pronouns and what to call someone, and you don't want to offend someone, blah, blah, blah. I'm okay. I'm sure of myself. I'm sure about who I am, and I don't really care what anyone else thinks. So like, if someone doesn't know or calls me the wrong thing or mislabels me, like it's, I don't care. Yeah. It's okay. You know,
it's so funny. Cause I, you know, let's say someone corrects me, right? I'm like, oh, sorry, I'll do it. Like sometimes people are like, why do I have to do that? I'm like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
So if you call someone, let's say I called you Bambi, and you're like, I actually wrote my name Sammy, I'd go, oh, I'm sorry. And then I would just start calling you Sammy, or at least I would try to remember to call you Sammy and not Bambi. I don't know why.
Sure, maybe that's my new drag persona.
That is a good drag name, right?
Name,
Bambi.
Yeah. It's also like a stripper name, but
yeah, okay. So now if I go into stripping, we know what it's gonna be, Bambi Shaw. But now if your name is Bambi, we're not calling you a stripper. Don't write in. But yeah, no, people take like, it's like such a big deal to be corrected, or takes it's like, no, we're all learning. We're all growing.
Yes,
we're all working.
And I understand that for people who are questioning a lot of things about their identity or their bodies or whatever, their sexuality.
Yeah.
It is very important to have that assurance from the outside world of what you view yourself as. So those people calling you the things you want to hear is important.
Yeah, I agree. I think like it's everyone's job to try, and I think it's everyone's job to be understanding on both ends. You know, like if someone messes up your pronouns or what you prefer or what you like, I think you should correct them, and you should want to be called and identified the way you want to. And I be understanding that people are learning. And on the flip side, people need to be understanding that someone wants to be called or identified or be whoever they are. It's like the theme of this interview is like, be loving and understanding, you know, again, unless you're an asshole.
Just accept. Yeah. Unless you're an asshole, shitty person.
Then I don't give a shit. But, it's so, okay. So there's pants. Okay. There's so many letters.
Well, I think we're getting off topic.
I know we're supposed to talk about double lives and drag, but now I'm so curious.
Yeah, I mean, so we were talking about how unassuming it seems that I would do drag.
Oh yeah, yeah,
because you're saying
thanks
I'm straight passing.
Yeah,
you were saying I'm straight passing, and I I've hooked up with females recently. You know, like it's just like it's how I'm feeling at the time. It's like, again, I don't like to box myself into anything, and I think we're so quick, especially in the U.S., to like, you have to check off this box on the application and this box and this box, and it's like people need to know exactly what you are so that they can either identify you or hate you, or, you know, not give you money,
right,
or give you whatever it is
to put you in a box.
Yeah, to put you
essentially
in a box. Yeah, a demographic, a statistic, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm over it.
What so back to drag.
Back to the top. topic at hand.
You know what? Nothing I ever do stays on topics. This is super, super fitting. Okay, so you back to telling your parents.
Yes. So I told my parents. They were just like, exactly like the same way when I came out to you, they were just like, amazing. And, you know.
And so when they saw the drag, they were like.
Oh, they loved it. Yeah. You know? And my mom's like sending photos to all of her friends.
Sammy's
and,
mom's also a musician. So it's like performing is, by the way, neither of my parents have any music. Actually, my dad used to play the drums.
I heard about your dad as the drummer.
He tells a lot of people. No one's ever heard him
my
play.
Dad told me about your father being the drummer in the house.
I think my dad, when you right to Ed's were kids, my dad taught your dad.
Yeah, your and dad encouraged my father to be a
and then your dad took off and my dad went into accountant. Yeah, it's so, you know what was really, you're going to be surprised. Do you know who I'm most surprised at was so supportive of you? Can you guess?
Grandma?
No, although. Your brother, Jerry.
Really?
Like, I mean, because like he's, I remember when you started doing drag, he was your biggest supporter.
Oh, he's still your biggest.
I would say he goes to, whenever you go to your shows, he'll go to your shows. Yeah. I mean, our aunt and uncle is probably your biggest because they go to all the shows, but that's because they live in New York. But I was, because you know, not that I thought Jerry wouldn't be, but I was like, I love how supportive Jerry is.
It's so funny. So Jerry and I can't even I can't put into words the depth of our relationship because we're brothers. Like it's a universal like thing. It's just incredible. But it's just interesting, like all of the fear that I had about coming out of all different things, like whether I was gay or drag queen, whatever it is, like anything I thought was a secret and like living this life and I couldn't tell anyone. When I told the people that I love and they were so accepting, thinking back at it, I'm like, what was I so afraid of? Like, why? Like, it's so silly thinking that I couldn't just be honest about myself to these people. Like, and if they hadn't accepted me, like, I would have, you know, moved forward. I would have lived my life based off of those reactions too. But like, that's my advice to anyone listening right now. Just like, you're going to look back and realize like how silly it might've been not to just let people know that you have this other thing going on.
Regardless what it is, not even just drag. Like,
I mean,
whatever.
Listen, if you're into some like kinky fetish stuff, like maybe you know.
Are you kidding? That was like 2 weeks ago. I did an episode on
Tucker. I understand why some people keep that secret.
And we had some people calling about weird shit, but we said no judgment to everything. You know what? I'm sure people are nervous, yourself included, because there's been so many times that you see other people have come out and not been accepted.
Absolutely.
So it can be a scary thing. But I do think when you have these double lives, whatever it is, when you do share it, and if you get accepted, there's probably nothing better.
Yeah. And it's just a weight off your shoulders. Like, you know how they say like stress is the number one killer. Like it really, that weight of what you're carrying is real.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's like this release, this weight off your shoulders, it's amazing.
So do you feel at times that you're living a double life, that like you have this personality and your Sammy personality?
Yes, and I love the fact that I can flip the switch. I can like be this big boobed, 6'7", big blum bimbo drag queen.
Yeah.
And then switch it off, take the wig off, untuck my junk and take the heels off. And then I'm me, Sammy. And it's funny because the lines get blurred all the time. Like I'll be out in the club or wherever out of drag and people still call me Worshipper because that's just how they know me. Most people don't know my government name.
Right.
So it's fun to be able to turn it on and turn it off. And then also it's fun like when the lines are blurred as well. It's just like an experience that you have to sort of like dive into and just let it like come over you and just accept it, you know?
And I have to say, watching from like when you first started to recently, your makeup has gotten better. Your movements have gotten better. You have just grown so much.
Thank you.
That like I used to say Sammy when I would see you as Worshipper, but now it's like when I see Worshipper, Worshipper.
And that's what drag artists are just artists. It's about building a brand. It's about, you know, it's like the starving artist life. You just gotta like, it's hustling and creating a name for yourself and an image and an iconography. You're like around who you are. Like what you're doing.
Yeah, except like I'm fake. You have two different personalities. I have one and then I just fake the talent on the other end. But okay, so anyone who wants to follow Sammy's Worshipper life and performing and everything, make sure you follow him on Instagram and TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok, but I really should be.
You should be. I feel like Worshipper would do so well on there.
I need like a social media manager.
Oh my gosh, don't we all? Hire security. You'll do it. Okay, so it's at Worshipper.
Worship her. H-E-R. It's like a play on words, yeah.
W-O-R-S-H-I-P-H-E-R-D-R-A-G. And then if you want to follow his drag band, that's the Bad Judies. T-H-E-B-A-D-J-U-D-I-E-S. We started this episode saying how like I didn't know how to read and I have dyslexia and I have all this stuff.
Rob.
I'm like, this is a lot of letters. You should see when I first come in every episode, I have to read the commercials and they give me a piece of paper. And every time I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
It's like all this trauma come back. Also, so you have the residency that's coming out.
At Red Eye, NYC. Yes.
And I'm sure you post that stuff on the Bad Judy's account. And then you have a pageant coming up on October 15th.
I love pageants. Yes.
I'm really excited.
I love competing. It just like it brings all of your like creativity to a point to like the biggest, like most. It's like you have to like peacock and just like present yourself on stage. And it's just like so competitive and vicious. And these queens are like throwing pearls on the ground. So you trip. And it's amazing.
Actually, the time I was talking about with my dad and my uncle, it was a page. It was like a competition.
Yes,
it was intense.
Yes.
And that is in
October 15th. Miss Hell's Kitchen pageant.
Yes. And you can find more information at his Instagram, Worship Her Drag. Sammy, thank you so much for coming on. I love you so much.
My
little baby
you.
Cousin.
Yes, we have to play dress up soon. Maybe we could do each other's makeup or something like that.
You'd be so much better doing my makeup than I would be at yours. Well, thank you, Sammy, so much. I love you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure, and I'm so proud of you and so happy that you have a podcast.
Okay, so now we're going to open up the lines.
Can I say one thing?
What? Did people forget security was here? What?
No, that Uncle Gary 47 years ago performed at Town Hall.
That's where I'm going to be performing. And actually, we didn't know this till recently. I'm doing Town Hall, and then our other aunt and uncle was like, wait, Gary performed there 47 years ago.
And then I found a picture online of him playing at Town Hall.
No, that's so freaking cool.
Do you know who he played with?
Steve Reich.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay, so you ready to open up the lines? We don't have a lot of time. Let's take like one or two calls of people who have other double lives.
Okay, Robin, we have Amy on the phone.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Robin.
Thanks you for coming on Call Waiting.
Of course.
So today's topic is double lives. So what do you have for us?
Oh, gosh. So when I was in about third grade, there was a new girl at school, and I thought it'd be really fun and very cool to be a twin. So I lied to her, and I told her that I was a twin, and that my twin's name was Rebecca, and I would bring an extra shirt in, and I would change during lunchtime or during recess. And then I'd go and introduce myself as, you know, either Amy or Rebecca. And I kept it going for almost a week until one of my friends squealed on me and told her I did not have a twin. And then she never talked to me again, and I was heartbroken.
Oh, wait. I'm actually like super impressed that you were able to pull it off for a week.
I was very excited, and I just thought this was going to be the best thing ever, and she would never find out. I just assumed it would go on forever. And I was very surprised when she figured it out. I was like, what? I was so careful.
So you would change your clothes? Would you also change like the way you would speak?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, I was in third grade, so I don't remember it that well. But I'm sure my acting skills were, you know, right up there, like Academy Award level for sure.
I still think that's really impressive.
It was just so much fun. And I was just a little fibber. I just love to make up stories. So I just created this whole other person.
Now I kind of want to see if I could pull that off. Like if I could trick someone into thinking I'm two different people. All right, next podcast.
You definitely should. I had a cousin that would always give a different name when she went into Starbucks. She would give like Ursula C. Witch, or she would say, you know, some ridiculous name. And it was just so much fun, but I can never quite pull that off.
Oh my gosh. I wonder, this would actually be an amazing science experiment if I go on Hinge or one of the dating sites and I say to a guy like, oh, let's go out on a first date. And then I should message him and say, hey, I wasn't feeling it, but I think my twin sister would like you. And then go, wait, is this too mean to do to a man? Because
no, I think
this could be an amazing thing.
First time, you have a whole other chance. You have a whole other person.
Right. No, you know what I should do? I should message this guy that I went on a few dates with that is ghosting me. And I should message him and be like, hey, I know you're ghosting me, but my twin sister, I actually think you would really like, just to get him to respond and go out with me again.
You totally should. You can change your whole persona. I love it.
I love it. See, double lives. Way to go. All right. Thank you so much for coming on Call Waiting.
Thanks, Robin.
I know we've already told this story, but security went out with this girl and then kind of ghosted her. And then, well, you didn't ghost her.
I didn't ghost her.
You just broke up.
It just didn't end well.
And then you ran into her.
And she started, she's like.
She went, security?
Yeah, security. I'm like, no, I'm Mike. I'm his twin brother. Is everything okay? She's like, well, you tell him that he's an a-hole. I was like, I will.
Like, he is.
I will, definitely.
And he's ugly. All right, let's take one more call.
All right, Robin, we have Annabelle on the line.
Hi, Annabelle.
Robin, I'm such a huge fan. You have no idea. I've been following your career for so long. I think you're just the absolute best, and I'm so happy for you.
No, I think you're the absolute best. Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that, and thank you for coming on Call Waiting.
Yeah, so when I heard what the topic was, I knew I had to call in because I have been living a double life for quite some time now. It's not something that I really talk about too often. But I kind of think this is a perfect opportunity for me to talk about it on your show, if you don't mind.
Please, I'm so excited to hear.
Okay. So I started doing dominatrix work not that long ago, but it's something that I thought about doing for a long time. And through the support of some close friends who are also sex workers, they convinced me that I should give it a shot. So I have been, and girl, it's been the greatest thing I've ever done, and I am not looking back.
Oh my gosh. So you have like you, right, that your friends and family know, and then you have this other life as a dominatrix?
Pretty much. So basically, like, how it all started was I was dating this guy, and he really just kind of, I'm going to say he had mommy issues. Is that like a kosher? Can I say that out loud? I think he has sure, some mommy issues.
Nothing on this podcast is kosher.
Okay, great. So he had some mommy issues that I think that I was kind of trying to help him work out, but it really just kind of turned into more of like a sexual fetish thing. And I realized that I actually like was really, really good at it. If you want, I can tell you like a little story of like what maybe like an average day looks like for me. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. So basically like,
I just, so you know, this is my cousin's on this episode. So I feel like there's a lot of family listening at this point. I need all family members to turn off the podcast.
Yeah. Family members.
Okay. Continue. Tell me a day in the life of a dominatrix.
All right. So now that, you know, your mom's not listening anymore, I'll tell you what's going on. So, I'll just give you a little example. So one of my clients, I have him come to my house and I leave on the doorknob of my house, I leave a blindfold. And so I tell him before he comes in, he has to put the blindfold on. So he comes into my house. He hasn't even seen me. You know, he only knows me because I was referred to him from somebody else. But he comes in and I have him get on the floor and I have him crawl down my hallway. I have a long hallway in my house. And so I have him crawl down the hallway with his blindfold on. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. And I have him like crawl into my living room. I have sit him on the couch and then I hand him a bottle of champagne and I say, drink this whole bottle of champagne right now. And he like freaking loved it. He drinks the whole thing. Then I put a collar on his neck and I walk him to the bathroom. Are you laughing?
Sorry, I can't stop giggling. Okay, keep going. I'm not mature enough for this call.
I walk him to the bathroom. I tell him, you have exactly 3 minutes to take a shower. And if you're not out of the shower in 3 minutes, you're in really big trouble. You have exactly 3 minutes. Because, you know, I want them clean. I don't want them dirty. It's too gross, you know?
Obviously.
Okay. So basically what I do then is I get to the bathroom. He's out. I put the leash and collar back on, all right? And I'm walking him. This is so good. I'm walking him down the hallway. And in in my hallway, I have like a little, like a little table where I put like my keys and, you know, letters and stuff. And I'm not really paying attention. And he like walks into the table and knocks everything off. And it falls all over him. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, whatever. But then I bring him into my living room where I've actually moved all of the furniture out. And so all that is the living room now is just like literally a cowhide rug on the floor. Okay. So, I have him there. He's all blindfolded up. I have all the leather, the whips, the whole thing. I got it all, the whole rigmarole, you know? And so, you know, I'm really lashing into him. He really was into humiliation. So it was a lot of, you know, like really intense, dirty talk and, you know, degradation really is the word. Do I like that personally for myself? No. But who am I to deny this to somebody who really needs this? Right. You know what I mean? They're paying customers.
You're a giver.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So then, you know, after a while of really, you know, I'll spare you all the dirty details since this is a family show. Just kidding.
But, not anymore.
But basically, I'll tell you.
Security left 20 minutes ago.
Okay, good. So I'll tell you the best part. So I have him. He's my, at this point, he's my human footstool. Okay. So I have my feet up on his back and I like light a cigarette. I'm smoking the cigarette and then I spit on his back and then I put the cigarette out in the middle of his back. And
it was
like for him, this was like pure ecstasy, you know, to anybody else that would be like terrible, but this is what this dude wanted, you know? So,
wow. Okay. I have a question. I'm going to cut you off. Just, okay. So that's one life. And then on the other life, please tell me you're like a nun or a rabbi or like something.
Well,
holy.
I'll tell you this. I did go to Catholic school for 7 years of my life, but I think that is exactly why I am this way, because
I think I think you have the most double life there is. Thank you so much for calling in. This was very educational.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just gotta do it for the, you know, Robin show.
Yeah, double life. This way you can explore everything. All right, have a good day. Thank you again calling in.
I hope it didn't scare anybody.
Bye. Oh my gosh. Security, I will pay for your therapy bill for the next 3 months.
Wow.
Sammy, you came on. It's quite an episode. Wow. All right. Security, can you just, what's our end segment? I feel like nothing can top that. What is that?
I was going to see which sibling knows each other better since we have someone here that can like test us.
All right. How many rounds?
Three questions.
How about two?
Two questions.
How about one?
Okay, one question.
Okay. All right, let me write out a question. You write out a question.
All right.
Okay, we're back. I wrote out three questions.
So did I.
And we will go until I'm bored.
Okay, deal.
Okay, so Sammy, you're the game show host. Which sibling knows which sibling? How's this double life?
What?
Actually, you know what? I have no clue what topic
I don't know anymore. This was...
this was the weird... Sammy, everything went awry.
Welcome to call waiting.
Oh, no.
No, you're perfect. Okay. All right. So, Sam, to ask security one question, and then you'll ask me one question.
Okay. Security.
Yes.
Name three of Robin's college friends.
College friends.
Yeah. You have 3 seconds, otherwise the game's over.
Betty, Wilma.
Stop. And Fred.
And Fred.
You don't know any of my college friends?
What's her name? Jess?
Yes.
Jess?
Yeah.
The tall one.
Even I know.
You went to a wedding with
her. Yes, I know.
Such an R.
Rebecca.
Yep.
And?
Who I went to New Zealand with.
I'm Adam.
Okay, this is terrible. I
just
had to help
Christina
him.
Too?
Yeah, of course. Sammy knows more than you do.
He's mouthing out Christina to me.
Okay, I'm not going to give you that because I had to help.
Yes, okay.
Okay, go.
And it was over the 3 second.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin.
Yeah.
What type of arcade machine does security have in his apartment?
It's like a Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Very good.
I'm an idiot. like, all right, round two.
Okay. Security.
Yes.
What is Robin's ultimate career goal?
To have her own talk show.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct.
Robin.
Yeah.
What is security's least favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint. Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot. You say it 50 times a day.
I hate mint chocolate chip.
And you don't like donuts.
But I just.
That's disgusting. Okay. Don't talk to me. Okay.
Okay.
That's probably the only thing we really fight about.
Yes, is donuts. Is that I don't.
But what's wrong with you?
It's nothing. Well, I was going to say, what's wrong with the donuts? What's wrong with me?
Okay, yeah. Security.
Yes.
When you and Robin were kids,
yes.
If mom and dad got divorced, who would Robin rather live with?
Mom.
Yeah, why?
Because she doesn't yell at you if you want to eat a lot of food?
Yes. Eat whatever we want. That's so funny that you got that. You should get 3 points for that.
Yeah. Who's keeping score, by the way?
I don't.
I don't know if anyone's listening anymore. Hello, is anyone there?
Okay, Robin, name all the states security has lived in.
All the states? Okay, California, Rhode Island, New York.
There you go. Good job.
I'm not an idiot. All right, I would like to thank our guest, Sammy Shawl, for coming on today. Make sure you follow him on Instagram, Worship Her Drag, WORSHIPHERDRAG, or The Bad Judies. And make sure you check him out. And he has a pageant on October 15th, or you could see him at the Red Eye where he's going to be doing his residency. Thank you, Sammy, so much for coming on.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you. Security?
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone, I also would like to thank my calls. I would like to thank our calls for today. If you want to know the topic every week, I post it on my Instagram and TikTok at Robin Shawl Comic. And if you want to see me live, go to my website, www.robinshawl.com. All right. We have another call. Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Allie Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shawl Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.